Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
By the time you met Blondon, how big were you getting? Like, how much were you buying on a regular basis?
Oh, no, maybe a couple pounds, 16 pounds maybe.
16 pounds.
Yeah, 8 pounds, something like that. At that time, pounds were going for 35,000 a pound, yeah.
By the time you met Blondon, how much cash did you have?
I don't know. I had a few hundred thousand.
A few hundred thousand. So you weren't a millionaire back then, but you were well off.
I was doing good.
You was doing good.
I was doing pretty good.
So how did the whole Blondon thing come together?
Well, see, we were still getting from the Blondon, but we wasn't going directly to Blondon.
It was a middleman.
It was a middleman. So the only thing happened when we met him personally was that the middleman had got cut out, which dropped the price even more. But we were already getting it from Blondon, technically.
Technically.
Yeah.
You just weren't talking to him.
I just wasn't talking to him.
Okay. So how did you end up meeting him?
I bought him.
You bought him?
Mm-hmm.
So you basically bought your connect.
Yeah.
So you told your middleman, I'm going to give you...
$60,000.
$60,000, and you introduced me to your connect. And you can walk away with that $60,000.
Yep. And then Blondon paid $60,000 as well.
To meet you?
Yeah, to meet me.
So the connect got $120,000 to essentially... walk away from that part of the business?
Yeah.
Okay.
He got spooked, I heard. You know, somebody had got busted.
He was trying to get out of the game.
He was trying to get out of the game, so he felt, he'd take $160,000, go back to Honduras, And live like a king.
120,000.
120,000.
And that's what he did? He left?
I guess, yeah, for a while.
Okay. So now you're working with the Connect. Blendome.
Yep.
How is that relationship different than your previous relationship?
We got a lot tighter, you know. Me and Blandone hung out a little bit together. You know, I would go over his house. The other guys were more meet on the street, switch cash for money, you know, money for drugs, and it's over. But me and Blandone, we kind of hung out. We talked about business. So we developed kind of what I thought was a friendship as well.
Okay. Now, Blandone is the one that actually took you to the next level.
Technically, yeah, and no, you know.
Explain.
I mean, we took each other to the next level.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know, I wasn't out here helpless and homeless. You know, when I met him, I had a few hundred thousand dollars, and I had clientele. I knew the streets. You know, I knew all the shot callers from every hood in L.A. You know. So he helped, but, you know, not by himself.
According to some articles that I looked up, and you could tell me whether this is accurate or not, it said that you were making up to $3 million a day.
I've had days that I made $3 million.
You had a $3 million day?
Yeah.
Okay.
A few of them.
A few of them. Explain how you have a $3 million day.
Well, your big customers come through. Couple of them, and they drop off $200,000, $300,000. There were three or four spots that I had in L.A. where guys that stood out on the street that would make $100,000 a day, each one.
Each one?
Yeah.
Now, this actually built up. I guess you had operations in 42 cities?
I don't know how many cities. I mean...
A lot of cities.
We had a lot of cities.
All throughout the country.
Yeah.
So explain to me, and okay,
you know, different people do their estimates and their calculations, yeah, and all
right,
that stuff. So
and I guess the other thing is that you moved $900 million worth of cocaine,
or more,
which in today's dollars is the equivalent of $2.5 billion.
Yeah.
So you were moving.
You figure like this here: if you do 100 kilos. In one day, that cocaine goes a lot of places. You know, a lot of people, they taking it, they putting it on airplanes, you know, they moving it around. Now you're talking about you move 200 kilos in one day, or 250, you're talking about that's a lot of cocaine.
Okay. If you were to stack up 250 kilos right now, how big would it be? Would it cover this entire room?
No. 250 kilos is not that big. Maybe the size of that couch.
That's it?
Yeah.
And that's the equivalent of $3 million?
According to what price you're getting.
Yeah.
What time it is. You know, one time I paid as much as $48,000 for a kilo. So $3 million won't go for it.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, You didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what to happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay. I'm recovering here. Oh, so I'm a little, well, I'm not disoriented, but I'm a bit sore. Had a almost run in with a pig who wanted a snack, and so I'm just trying to get myself together here. Okay, all right, let's go.
Chicken wings for that money, even though they was no good, but you do get something for your money. But when you put your money in the church bucket, what do you get back? Hope and a future after you die. And my position on that, if I have to die to experience heaven, I don't need that religion. Anyone who tells me that I should be content with accepting hell on earth when the white man has his heaven here, And the Chinese man has his heaven here. And the Arab and East Indian has his heaven here. And they're even building their heaven in my ghetto. And you're telling me I got to die in order to experience what they are getting right now? That's a religion I don't need, because that's a religion for servitude. And so we have to put the black church to task and ask them, what are you doing without Jesus money? Let me tell you what they're doing with your Jesus money. Every black church in America has their money in a white bank. It is the white banks that are funding the regentrification ethnic cleansing movement. So all of us go to church. We put $3 million in the church coffers every Sunday. $3 million goes to a white bank every Sunday. And guess what they do on Monday? They take 3 million of black people's white Jesus money, and they give loans to white land developers and businesses and entrepreneurs to come into the ghetto where the church is located, buy up all the property, and force grandma out on the street homeless. Now, grandma been going to that church for 30 years. Grandma been giving that church $50 every Sunday. And lo and behold, grandma had to finally face the reality that it was your Jesus money that put your ass on the street.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas. Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Lou Barry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain,
Ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, and in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Luke and Bach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. That successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's train songs, and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Luke and Bach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. Let's go to Luke and Bach, Texas, William Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs and Jerry Jeff train songs, eyes crying in the rain. Out in Luke and Bach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
What's up, folks? I don't usually go live, but I was reading a story tonight, and I found it fascinating. So, as typical, I'm, you know, debating some stuff on Facebook, and some things were brought up about, you know, black history and, you know, wealth in America back in the 1800s, 1900s, and the wealth gap and things like that. So, you know, I started going back, doing some research so I can be a little more informed, just to gather some more information. So I run across the story of this guy, Lunsford Lane. He was born what I'm reading from here is the biography of Lunsford Lane, 30th of May, 1803 to 1863. They don't know his exact date of death. It's written by Alice R. Cotton. There's several works about Lunsford Lane, though, and I just found it interesting. Like, it really feels like this guy should have a movie made about him. Because it literally goes through the gambit of being a slave to being free to experiencing, you know, extreme hate and physical harm to being free to being a businessman. Like, this dude was it, like, living the dream, you know, and then things come crashing down. So I started to write a post about it, and I said it's not going to do it justice. Like, I need to do a video. So this is basically the story of Lunsford Lane.
Okay. Right beneath my nose, but it's not. Not bleeding now, anyway. And then I hit my knee in the fall. Oh, Jesus, but I think I'll be all right. Anyway, let's see. All right, today, I need to put a hot water bottle on me in a couple of places, but I'll do that later. Anyway, so today, Pioneer Startup Power, since... And then Tiny Town number 26. So we're going to –
I think in order to get a handle on micro towns and, you know, 2-acre towns and all of those stuff, we need to take a look. That's why I feature, one of the reasons why I feature a tiny town every day, because a lot of these places are over 100 years old. So we want to take some clues from the town of Everett, Washington. And the town founder for Everett, Washington, is was a guy named Dennis Brigham. And very important date here, 1861. So in 1861, he went out to what we now call Everett, Washington. To him, it was 160 acres of land. He got 160 acres of land. And in 1861, he built a cabin. Now, in 1861, there was no Ace Hardware. There was no Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, Lumber 84. No places like that. So he had to build his cabin using locally sourced material. Well, he had 160 acres of land, so he knew how to identify which trees to cut down and so forth. It also should be noted in 1861. You know, there were no Holiday Inns or nothing like that around. So more than likely, he pitched a tent and lived out of a tent while he was building the cabin. Also noted in 1861, there was no electricity, which means he also, the tools that he used to build his cabin, there were no power tools, you know, electric drills, miter saw, circle saw, none of that. So let me give some other dates now. Once again now, he started out in 1861 with what we now call Everett, Washington. In 1889, the first electric, power station was established in Snohomish County, Washington. That's 1889. Remember, he got on the scene and built what he built in 1861. Oh, I got to refresh my phone. Give me a moment here to refresh the phone. My phone's refreshing. Okay. Okay, let's see. All right. So in 1861, you got the 1889, you want to call it, was exception number kind of whatever Washington is. That was 1889. Okay, so that came past the fact to do it. The electric didn't come to Seattle, Washington until January the 10th, 1905, right? Which means, you know, no electric, no batteries, nothing like that. In 1889, Arthur Dean Arnott from Australia and William Brain invented the first power drill. So once again, it was some years after he built that cabin in 1861, because the electric drill, the first one, didn't even come along until 1889. And then in 1823, Edmund Michelle and Joseph W. Sullivan invented electric kettle. And then later, we started the Michelle Electric Hand Saw Company. Once again, that was 1823, a little bit past that. Right now, I bring up these important dates
in relation to Everett Washington, because back then and even today, you can take some success clues that here's a guy, he didn't even know he was starting the town. Everett Washington started with one person. Now it's got over 110,000 people that live in Everett, Washington. So everything starts with one, and he started just like the Freedom Georgia Initiative. They started simple. They gave tours of the land, and they did campouts, and people got Walmart tents, and they slept in a tent. Once again, more than likely, this guy pitched a tent on his 160 acres of land, and he sourced local, you know. So that, particularly if you're tight on cash, okay. And that's one of the common denominators with a lot of these towns that we're on, number 26 now, something like that. So if you're short on cash, that's why we go through these every day. Look at what some of these town founders did and just model what they did, all right? Number one, he bought in a rural area. Number two, you can buy power tools now, but he couldn't. So if you're short on cash, whatever, you know, like I say, you can still build, all right? Freedom, like he pitched a tent. You might have, just like the Freedom Georgia Initiative, 19 families in 2022 or 2023, they pitched tents, all right? The most important thing that you're going to do is you're going to have to build some type of community. It doesn't have to be large, okay? But your community will be your de facto bank, all right? But his de facto bank was just one person, and he had to use a carpenter, so he had the skill set to do what he needed to do. So he pitched a tent. More than likely, he used candles. Candles was their technology still around. Solar lighting, he didn't have solar panels or anything like that, but he worked during the hours. Bank loans, zero fund assistance, zero investment. And their scores are, I mean, I would say most of the towns that were started around the globe have the same story. Now, of course, you do have some modern planned communities like, Columbia, Maryland. But the overwhelming majority of towns, no matter what size they are around the globe, started off simple. One or a few people with no power tools, okay, no government assistance. You had, you know, some skilled people like carpenters, people like that. All right, so just keep in mind, like I said, this guy worked without power tools as we know them today. Matter of fact, power tools that we know them today, the drill and the electric saw, they weren't it wasn't even invented then in 1861. So put on your pioneer thinking hats, and if he can make it, and because we're up to Tiny Town 26. And we're about to read that right now. LB Washington. And let me read that. Okay. And you can follow me on Wikipedia. All right, let's see. I might have to cut the show short today.
dealing with this.
Yeah. I got a cup right below my nose. I'm all right, though. But all right, LB Washington has a population of 54. And, okay, here we go. LB Washington, census designated place in Pierce County, Washington. Population in one place they say 29, in another place they say 54. So I'll take the higher number, 54. History of LB Washington. LB was known as Brown's Junction after the Tacoma Eastern Railroad was built in the region when a post office was requested with a shorter name. And it was named after the guy's hometown, which was in LB, Germany. Let's see, I'm trying to point out. The villagers built a church. Let's see. I'm trying to see something interesting here. Okay, what I'm going to recommend is go to Wikipedia, LB Washington, ELBE, and then check out the history portion. And that's a tiny town, but it still exists today. And once again, the goal, like I said, start off with something simple, and that's the common denominator, which I've seen most of these towns. I mean, it's worked for over 100 years for most of the 26 towns that and we do one a day at least. So, like Everett Washington, it went from one person to 110,000 that it has today, and the guy who founded the town had no power tools. Even if he had them, there was no electric company or nothing like that. So when you start in these towns, or if you choose, or whatever you do, it's so what you don't have a power saw. So what you don't have a miter saw. So what you don't have most of the items that you will find at Home Depot or Lowe's. He didn't have any of that. He had the knowledge of how to source his own lumber. You can cheat on that today. All right. But if you don't have, put it this way, use what you had. And that's what he did. Now, he had the skill of a carpenter, Washington. So, I can't really say more than that. So if you've got a power drill or a power anything, and then you got an electric hookup or a tool that has a battery pack on it, which you can operate it to, if you just have just one item like that, you've got more than the guy who's founded the town of Everett, Washington, as well as every single town. Every one of the 26 towns, you've got more than the 26 people, well, most of them, that towns that we've featured so far. All right? So that I'm not bleeding anymore, so that's good. Okay, let's see. All right, get me right back in the studio.
All right, let's go to 813. Your mic is open. All right, let's try 813 on. Oh, wait a minute. Now they're talking. Oh, wait a minute. All right, now you're up. Your mic is open.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Mayor, Madam Mayor. Yeah, can you
hear
me?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I was here's the scenario. Henry the pig, I'm pig setting people. So that and the dog. So Henry is a pig, some might call it a hog. And Henry was laying down and I was going to feed the dog a snack, but anytime Henry hears anything resembling unwrapping something, he gets up. So Henry gets up, but I think Henry can move that fast. So Henry's got some tusks on him and some jaws, and real friendly, he's always wagging his tail, So I was trying to get out of the way of Henry, and I had to, because there's a divider there, so, you know, they can't come into the main part of the house. So I got caught, my leg got caught on the divider thing, and then I was falling. Good thing it wasn't a long fall, but I hit a coffee table, but I had my hands where I broke it, broke the fall, but I did hit my head. It cut right. The coffee table caught me right below my nose and right above my mouth. So
ouch.
I didn't know that at first because I looked at my hand and I had blood on my hand. It wasn't a lot. And so I checked myself out in the mirror. And I'm good.
Yeah. Do you have ice? Or take something out of the freezer and lay it up against the ice will reduce the inflammation, and that will help with pain as well.
I really have any pain other than my knee.
Okay. Well, the same thing. You can put ice on that knee, and that will help with the pain too.
And I'll put some peroxide on this cut.
You need to put that pig outside. Let that pig be outside. He'll be all right.
Well, the thing is, the pig can go in and out the house at will.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It's a housebroken pig. But moral of the story, stay clear of hungry pigs. but the pig, though, is never ending. I fed that pig breakfast like at 6:30 this morning. That's the first one I feed is the pig. And then I feed it throughout the day. So, like I said, this was supposed to be a snack for the dog. Of course, the pig will eat anything. But, and anyway, I thought I can outmaneuver the pig, but all right, Henry got me that time, but Henry won't get me again. Anyway, he didn't get me.
Save the bones for Henry Jones, because Henry don't eat no meat.
Yeah. I escaped. He didn't get me, but I escaped.
Okay,
So anyway, okay. So much for pig stories. Dennis Brigham, 1861. So like I said, that's why I named the dates. He came along in 1861 in what we now call Everett, Washington, resident there. And Everett now has 110,000 people, but he pitched a tent and sourced local material. Because, like I say, the electric company did not even, any type of electric company didn't even reach Sonoma's County, where Everett, Washington is today, until 1889. Seattle didn't have anything until
1905, the electric drill wasn't even invented until 1889, and the power saw, the handsaw rather, was not even invented until 1823. So he founded a city, what became a city, in 1881, with a tent, daylight hours, and
so it's interesting how they made their way here. So the guy that founded Everett, he came from Michigan?
No, Boston, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, okay. And so it's like they come from a very long way to settle out here. And that's just amazing. So,
well, yeah, now we got to consider, you know, back in 1861, particularly if he came from the Boston, Massachusetts area, because Massachusetts was one of the 13 colonies, that was back then the grid. It still is the grid. So things were more expensive. You know, you couldn't buy 160 acres of land in that neck of the woods at that time. So he heard about opportunities, and he came clear across the United States to Washington State. And Sonoma County was just formed in 1861.
Yes.
So he came when the county was just being formed. But
wow.
Still, Ace Hardware Store, there was no Home Depot, Menards, Lowe's.
No DoorDash, no Groupon, no Target, Best Buy, Ranger.
Right. So in 2023, some of the lessons that we can learn getting taken from your success clues, and I've been guilty of this. You can say I don't have enough money. I can't, you know, I can't afford a business tool. I can't afford this power tool. But guess what? He didn't need it.
Uh-huh.
But
do you have your fan on?
He had the skill set. Sorry. He didn't either.
Uh-huh.
But he had enough. He had enough, because he wasn't carpenter. He had the skill set where, and this is a skill set that we need to learn in 2023. How to source our own, how to go into the woods and source our own building materials. Now you have, depending on where you are, you have, you can source low, if you don't have forest near him. But you can go to, I mean, people go dumpster diving. You can go sourcing material that way or donations or whatever, but, we need to put on our pioneer hat, so all he had was his skill and probably some what we would call a day rudimentary tools. And you know, when he passed away, I don't know when that was. But mm-hmm. I doubt there were 2,000 people in what we call Everett, Washington. What we call Everett, Washington Day, population 110,000 plus.
Amazing.
Plus, he didn't have an internet connection. He didn't have a smartphone. No internet connection.
I'm looking forward to the growth in Maventown.
Right.
Yep.
So in all of these towns, like I say, the so I would say the first piece of housing that and Freedom Georgia Initiative has done it, and they still do it, is make yourself a tent or get a couple of dollars together and go to Walmart and get a tent, or go on Amazon and get a tent. That's going to be your first bit of housing.
You know, forget about the...
Because Jesus' first housing wasn't even a tent. It wasn't even a crib or a bassinet. It was a manger.
Which is a trough which animals eat out of.
Yeah.
You know what? That I need a trough for Henry. I need to build one. Because I'm spoiled. That's another story. So you're right. So you got to keep it simple. All right. Because a lot of people can run into financial problems because, you're spending too much money. All right. Start off as simple as possible. Okay. So if Everett Washington can start off with something as simple as, and you know what? To tell the truth, he might not even pitch the tent the first couple of days and nights. I don't know. He just, you know, I'll just sleep on the ground. Or he could have, you know, they have dugouts or, you know, the various types of housing that, you know, ways you can make housing. Now, I'm not saying you have to go all the way rough it, but what I'm saying is when you think you don't have something, there's always another way to accomplish that task. Don't let the lack of money slow you down. Let's see. Okay. What else do we have here? Oh yeah, that's all I've
got
on that.
Yes, that's important because it doesn't always take money, and then you have to remember that people are currency. Yes, it does take currency.
Right.
People are the currency before the money is the currency, and we have to remember that.
And that's how Everett Washington, as well as a gazillion other towns, because, I mean, Chase Bank, Bank of America, they had no banking system at that time as we know it today. So, you know, no credit cards, no debit cards. So although he probably built the first cabin by himself, but other people who built homes in Sonoma County, which we now call Everett Washington, Robin helped me build my cabin, and then I'll help you build your cabin. That's how it went. We might be both sleeping in tents. But that's how they rolled back then. And if you look at the history of housing, okay, what we see today, it's and we've lost a lot of skills. Because I'll be honest about it. Put me in the woods, and I do not know how to identify the proper trees to get the source of proper wood to cut down and build. I don't have that skill set. That's something I'm going to have to develop.
Can you identify what you can use to eat and build? I mean, we really did used to live off the land, truly. And now if you went in there, you probably wouldn't even make it until sundown. If the weather was extreme and all of that.
TV show called, right.
Naked.
There's a TV show called Naked and Afraid, where people go into the wilderness naked, and they had to rough it. I mean, finding food, building shelter. So you can have your clothes on. You can send abs, include me. So these are some of the skills that we'll expose people to. But like I say, if you're short on cash, and cash is not the only form of money. That's the primary problem, in my opinion, with modern man.
Yes.
Okay. Legal tender is issued by the government. Social capital is a form of money. Knowing how to grow edible food is a form of money. Going into the woods and foraging and identifying what is edible food to eat where you won't kill yourself is a form of money.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, it is.
So what, you think, I mean, this guy Brigham, he didn't have no power to, hell, it was no damn electricity. Okay. So, I mean, like I said, going back to the example that you used with the Jesus, how he started out, you know, his parents, I mean, this he was in look it up. Look up what a manger is. It's not
yes.
a barn. The manger is in the barn. A manger is a food trough for pigs to eat, for Henry to eat out of.
Yeah, pigs, horses, and the livestock.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you've got to be our mantra around
and
here.
And it's not all nestled and cozy. So when they put that baby in that, it wasn't a cozy, all warm and fuzzy type situation. It was nasty.
Right.
Totally unsanitary, outside,
right.
Probably cold. I don't know what the weather was, you know. Yep. Because there was no room at the inn. That's what
right.
they tell us, no room at the inn. But the complete
was
statement
no
was no, Mary,
inn.
You not getting no room at the inn.
Right.
Because of your
like
sin.
Right. I would like to build as a project, as a pet project. Maybe we can do it together. I mean, because it's a manger trailer, simply a structure to build, but a pimp out
uh-huh.
trial. So make it larger, make it long for somebody tall like me to sleep in, and then have it nice and comfortable, have a smart TV in it, flat screen, you know, with a Wi-Fi connection, place where you can eat and all that, have a pimped out trip, manger.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's check that out. Let's repurpose.
Yeah.
Let's repurpose it.
Yeah, repurpose.
Let's repurpose the manger.
Repurpose manger. So.
All right, away in the manger project.
Okay. So anyway, with the And we'll read about other people like Dennis Brigham. Because like I say, most of the towns, not all the towns, I mean, they just started off really simple. I mean, so what, you don't have electricity? Neither did he. So what, you don't
uh-huh.
have a battery pack for it? Neither did he. He didn't. I mean, we got so many, you know what? There's actually an advantage being disadvantaged, and there could be, and then although you think you're advantaged with all these power tools, but if you don't know how to operate, because he knew how to operate without legal tender, he operated without municipal power. 86% of the American public is reliant, or rather addicted, like crack cocaine, with
totally
energy
gummed
addiction.
Down. There,
totally
no,
gummed
it's
down.
Not. It's not addicted. It's dumbed down. We're so dumbed down that if they took all those creature comforts away from us and the conveniences, we probably would not be able to figure out how to survive. That's why a lot of people. But a lot of successful people are people that are in the higher ranks of society. When they lose their money and end up being homeless and stuff, they can't adapt.
Right.
And they completely lose their, they can't adapt and they can't survive, and their mental, they're the ones that you see walking down the street talking to themselves. Yep. You took all that away. So That's we're dumbed down. We're completely disabled, and we fall for it. We let them cram us into these cities so close together, where if the illness breaks out, we can't help but get sick. And there's enough land mass on this planet that we don't have to be all jammed up like this. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you're right. You used the right term. We're disabled on a critical mass basis, particularly in the Western world.
Yes.
And there's another term, functional. Man, what's that other word that goes with functional? I had to look it up. For right now, with this on a critical mass basis. Anyway, I'm going to open up this. We got Chris here, I believe. And let's see. 309 Eric, on anybody that's wanting to chime in, just press 1. You're in. Chris, your mic is open.
Hey, good morning, Mayor. Good
Hi,
morning,
Chris.
LA. Nice to see you here, both of you, this morning. So what are we on, day 25 of our tiny house talk? Our tiny town?
I believe it's day... Yes.
Day 26.
Day 26, okay. Yeah, I've been a day behind on that every time I talk.
Yes.
But it's been fun learning. And, you know, it's an inspiration to know about Everett Washington, right? When we look at, he started one person, 160 acres, and turns around, and there's over 100,000 people living there now. So,
yes.
You know, if you remember Amazing Alice that we had on, she said,
yes, I remember.
If they build it, if they build it, they will stay.
She did say that.
I don't think ever built it. You know, I think the people showed up and they built it and they stayed. And it continued to grow and their families grew. So, you know, I just, I don't know. I kind of was drawn to that today. And it just gave me some thoughts back of what we've talked about, people we've met, you know, the full circle of what everybody does. Because everybody's out here having their adventure of life, right? We just don't know where it's at. But if we can help them along the way, then guess what? It makes our life better, too, and our day. You know, just you could be anywhere in the country, but if we could help you help someone else, look at the reaction, the chain reaction. Boom, 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 boom. That's how it happens, and it happens fluidly, you know. And 90% of this country or this world is water, but so are you. And when you buy land, more than likely you're get water that is down there. You just have to get to it. Now, some people are way up above sea level, you know, and it's kind of hard to hit a well when the water table is so far down. But you can capture it from the air. So now you just changed it. So the air around you can turn into a product that keeps you alive or helps you thrive by keeping others what they need, you know. Had a few thoughts and things about what's going on today. I'm here for the conversation. So what would we like to talk about next?
Well, I adore Chris. Chris is just the answer. I'm just telling you. Yeah, thank you for all you do, Chris. Thank you.
Well, see, we're here. I don't know what my day is going to be like, you know, and I needed a miracle to happen the other day, left out at noon, and by 3:45, the miracle had already taken place, and everything that needed to be done that day was done. And I didn't know I needed to go create that miracle until after we got off the podcast. But as soon as I got off the podcast, I find out. I'm like, man, all right, let's go. I gotta go find this miracle. And then I didn't make it 3 blocks, and I had 3 missed calls because I didn't have my ringer on. And by me missing these calls, I called right back because that was my answer to the miracle. It's how fast it happened. And it's not that I was praying for it. I just knew it was out there. Just like I know there's a solution for every problem. It's just time for us to solve them.
True. Anybody in the audience or Chris or Rob, you want to add in? Because if not, I'm going to shut down in a few minutes because I'm basically recovering here from that fall.
You're right, and I did hear that. So, you know, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just a little sore. I broke the fall with a hand and a knee.
Yeah, but you did hit your head, right?
So I hit right below my nose and above my mouth, and it cut, but it's the blood's coagulated and all that, so I'm not bleeding or nothing like that.
Okay.
No headaches. It's soreness in the left knee and on my right hand, or the thumb, on the meaty part of your thumb.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's it. I'm okay though. So I'm gonna just
okay.
Chill out and.
No, I get that.
Well, unless you guys have something to talk about, because if you guys have something to talk about, anybody in the audience, I'll just open up your mic, mute my mic, and let you guys have at it. So,
all right, definitely, man. We want you to take care of yourself, because, yeah, I heard that, and I meant to bring that up when I first come on. But, you know, I'm human, and I don't know what's in my forefront when my mic comes unmuted. So, but yeah, man, I'm glad that you're okay. I definitely want to hear from you again today. So,
I went to the mirror and all that. So, it wasn't a long fall; it was a short one.
Okay. I don't know. A fall is a fall, you know. I fell a few weeks ago, day before Father's Day, and on Father's Day I couldn't walk. So the day before Father's Day, I hurt myself so bad that both my legs were gone, and I was down for almost a full week. But I said, "No, got to get up." And I moved, and you know what? I'm very thankful and grateful to be able to be where I'm at and do what I'm able to do, because I'm not 100%, but I'm about 70.
And oh, okay. Well, you're getting there.
I am getting there, you know. It's been a couple weeks. But the other part was I did it all with healing thoughts. I didn't go get no painkillers. I didn't worry about none of that. I sit here and rub my legs with positive energy. And all the bruising's gone. I had the back of my leg, I want people to understand, the back of my leg was black. It was so black because of blood. And evidently I fractured a bone. And that was the only reason that there was a pool of blood there. But I was down for 4 days. And on the 5th day, somebody noticed the back of my leg. I never saw it. And it was unbelievable. But as soon as I saw it, I started rubbing it because everybody said to me, you know, because of me being hurt and as bad as I was hurt, the blood clots, how quick I could die. And then I wind up getting this. It was my roommate opened the, you know, looked, come in my room and he saw the back of my leg and he said something. My wife looked immediately at it. Then I'm looking at it and it's unbelievable. To watch it disappear in a few days to nothing was a miracle to me, you know? So, you know, what you enjoy out of life is what you really get a chance to go out and attempt to do. And I enjoy enlightening people in what they're capable of, not what I'm capable of. But together, you know, maybe we can even do more and more and more because I can learn from you. And I do. So we know that L.A. is resting. How are you doing today, Robin? And we are working towards.
I need to hear those words. I need to hear those words because that'll help me. I got minor stuff compared to what you went through. So, yeah, because I got a couple of hot water bottles. I'll put them on me, and I'll be good. But I need to hear those words, so thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
I'm doing great. I'm just excited about how everything is coming to fruition. And just by doing what I enjoy, and what I enjoy is by helping other people, enlightening them, empowering them to do what they're good at. Not me, what they're good at, like similar to you. And when I do that and I end up being so blessed, like you said, it's a miracle. Yeah. So I'm great. Thanks for asking.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's something we're lacking is people calling people, you know, I challenge people, anybody that's going to hear these words tomorrow morning or today, don't wait 20 minutes out of your day and go back in your phone and not in your recent call list, just in your contacts and look at all the people that you have saved their number. How many of those people do you talk to? How many people know that you're thinking of them? Because that's something that we always move on. And we shouldn't just move on. We made those connections. You can always say hi. It only takes a second to send that emoji by. You know, if you would truly be what we set out to be, and you say, man, that's so nice to meet you. Was it? Or was it just what they had and you were getting out of it? Or what you had and they were getting from you that you were taking from them? You know, life's about what we get out of it. You know, L.A. has been taking care of a pig for a while. I'm kind of thinking it's his pig. Okay. The only way I'm going to get this proven to me is to see pictures of people actually loading up the pig and taking it home. Because he's loving this pig. I know he's got love for that pig because he gets up and cares for it. And I definitely got a story about a pig, but I ain't giving it today. But you know, that involved my brother though. Now, thing is I lost my brother back in May. And his last week, he couldn't walk. Okay? He could not get up. And I almost ripped him in half trying to get him up. And the thing was, is I lived through it too. About a month later, when it happened to me, almost on the day. So I had to go, and I am walking, and I'm walking pretty good. I'm walking without pain. That's key, right? The thing was, is guess what? I also smoked cigarettes. I don't anymore. I said I smoked cigarettes. Cold turkey. Because you know what? I had to go up against a battle. I was about to be done walking. I was still standing, and I said, I'm about to be done walking. I'm not going to get up to hurt myself to go hurt myself. Because I hurt to try to walk. It was very painful. And dropped them cold. Because one thing that I do when I do whatever I do is when I commit, I commit. That's like a comment that I made in 2005. I said, I am walking away from profit, greed, because no one will ever take my life from me. I did not know how literal those words were until I'm sitting here 19 years later now. I'm past the 18 years. I'm coming on the 19 years in 1 month. This is the month right here, August. I sat on my couch and watched Hurricane Katrina happen because of this. But I told the people that worked for me at the time, I had 70 employees. I said, the ones that worked for me at the time, I said, I can lay on my couch and make $500 a week. I can stand on my head. Oh, I said I could stand on my head and make $500 a week is what I said. But I can't do that because of blood rush to it. So I laid down on the couch. And they called me on a daily because they thought I was going to blow my brains out. Over a dollar? There ain't no way. I can always go make money. Money's not the answer. You are.
Yep.
Money helps. Money helps. Trust me, I ain't had none. But I've done some. I have done some amazing things with other people. Not that it was all me. It took them. It just took me to inspire them, to show them something. Give them an opportunity to do something. But you know what I saw in any part of that was a smile. People didn't complain. It was so wild on all of the things, except for one man. And he didn't understand that it wasn't about him. It was about them. Okay? I had 25 people that was in that community that day. But that man bucked me because he said, my house should be first. I'm like, I didn't say your house was going to be first. I just said it was going to get done.
Impatient.
You know, it's the point. He thinks he's better. Why do you think you're better than the person standing next to you? If you are, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So the person standing next to you, if they're lacking and you can give them something and you don't give them something, you are the problem. Okay, if you can't share what you know and help others grow, what kind of seed are you? A bad one. Okay, we've got electronic eyes. They're always watching us. But guess what? They also, on a conveyor belt of seeds, they got little puffs of air that'll blow that bad seed out of the way. Now, they didn't hurt it. They just got it separated from the herd so that others corralled. Okay, that's the way society's kind of doing this, right? They're trying to say, hey, you know, I'm better than you because I came from over here. Yeah? Oh, no, I thought of this and I created it, so I sold it for an exorbitant amount of money that I'll never spend, and I'm better than you. No. Every person on earth has a creation every second of the day. What are you creating? You ain't creating the same thing anybody else is. Guarantee it, because you'll never have anybody else's thought. So, you know, L.A. kind of needs to tend to himself and opens the mic and kind of gives it to me. And I'm not here to promote me. I'm here to promote you. And I see actions happen from people's inspirations inside of them when that fire gets started. One is the mayor of Maventown. We have her right here. Here she's been on here since because what? She's got that fire. She's got that drive. And she's ready for that community to strive. So I know that. But as soon as it starts striving, it's going to be thriving, right? But I know that the people are going to feel alive that are there, especially when the music shows up. Then they get to see.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to see your favorite artists, and not in a coliseum with 100,000, but say you met them with 1,000. Say you were at a private event and could be there, you know, kids would like Clark Kent, you know, and wait for him to turn into Superman, right? Well, the thing is all that was done from someone's imagination. And look at the industry and the syndication of these products. You know, we talk about how do you get wealth, earth wealth. You are wealth. You're better than your 9-to-5. You know, 90% of our body is made of water, right? Well, 90% of your body is not your head. 10% is. You can make so much money with 90% of your body. But with 10% of your body, it's unlimited. There's no limit to what your capabilities are by using your brain. If you use your hands, your back, your legs, you can only do so much. You will get paid so much. And the people that are using 10% of their brain will utilize and use you. But they'll also multiply you. You won't do it alone. They're going to give someone to go with you because they're going to bill for both of you. Or they're going to put you next to 100 or 1,000 because that multiplication surely beats the shit out of your paycheck. I can tell you.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. You don't go through life and what you are going to give yourself. If you empower others, and those ones, and don't forget this ever, the ones that are making you that money when you do become an entrepreneur, they are the grower of your entrepreneur. Okay? You got to make sure that weak link is as strong as you. So don't think that it's your business. It is the employee's responsibility to show you respect, show your company to what it needs to do, make it perform and make it grow. But don't take all that money and put it up for show. There's so much riches in all of these people. Elon Musk and Bezos and you name it. They can never spend that money in their lifetime. So if they all gave up half their wealth, every rich person on earth, they would still be the richest people on earth. Okay? The other part would go to everyone to empower them. Why stick it in a bank and say you're worth this number when we have a whole lot less people on earth? If you got more than $8 billion in your bank account, I challenge you to put a dollar in mine. I don't give a shit about that. I said put a dollar in mine. If you got over $8 billion, they need to put a dollar in mine, in my charity's account, not mine. Because the charity belongs to them, just like it belongs to you. They need to get a clue that these 501c3s, if they would actually become the solution that they are supposed to be, they can't do it alone. And that's what I see. They're working on their project, but if they would work together in unity in that community, they would give an equal opportunity. You know, I got a letter. You can look on my Instagram, Chris_Hope_Collins. It is on there. There's a letter. I don't care if you look at anything else that you see, but what you do see, children built, children done. That's what they're doing. That's the least they're doing. What's the least you'll do? Share it with us, and I'll show up with a film crew. I'll put you out there if that's what you want. Everybody wants a little fame, all that. I don't. Probably won't even see my face. I'm liable to have a mask on because it ain't about me. And I could care less if anybody sees who I am, because when they look at me, they judge me by my book. They look at my cover. Let me open my mouth with you, and you'll start to discover there's a world out there that you need to comprehend, and we need to start taking our time and start to spend, because it's time to enlighten and bring you out of the dark. It's time for you to start. We're the human race. We're human beings. Are you being human? That's the big question. Make a move. You will see who around you will meet needs. And if we all met a need today, we would get what we want, because you would find joy. And it's time to deploy. So I got on my soapbox. I did my little rant. If I energized the little people out there at all.
You did good. And you remind me of that guy. And now the rest of the story. I forget that old fella's name. I love it's a privilege being able to listen and hear wisdom coming from you. So we thank you very, very much for your soapbox.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't know. Like I said, I was just sharing my thoughts. Okay? They were not one of those things were written down. But you know what they were really done? They were recorded right here.
Robin, that was Paul Harvey you're talking about.
Paul Harvey, yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. I think I'm dating myself, but I don't care. Yes, everyone, I am a hippie. I'm not an OG. I'm an OH. I'm a hippie.
You're a hippie.
Yes, I actually am. I was born in 1962.
Yeah, you got to come through the 60s. See, I didn't make it. I was a 72. So I didn't get that, but see, it wasn't over. I just wasn't there during the 60s. The 60s was a true movement that I could have seen with my eyes. Because when I was a child, I seen a lot of things. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the reason that I get up and do the things that I do every day, because of the things that I seen, the things that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
The mm-hmm. You know, but once you see things, I don't care. You truly have the ability to always have it. But you're supposed to let go of the past and live in the present. And
mm-hmm. Be here now.
Yes, you live in the now, but you mm-hmm. learn from the past. You just don't repeat it. You don't live in it. If you live in it, you're living the past. What part of moving forward did you do?
Yeah, and if you don't learn from your mistakes, you will keep yourself stuck in the past, too. Don't do it. It's silly. Just don't do it.
Well, that's why we need to, you know, reach out to every prison system, every jail system, every rehab system, and not just put them in a classroom, give them a purpose. Okay, they need to get off of the substance abuse and addiction. You know, I lost my son in December 12th to addiction.
Mm.
And so I'll tell you what, you know, this year's been unbelievable for me.
Mm.
But I've had a lot of eye-opening experiences the one thing that I'm taking from it, and I took from day one that it started, was I can't save everyone, but I can save someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's it. Now, it's not for me just to go save some one person in my life and I did my right thing. That's one person all the time. There's someone. Look around. Look sideways. When you go to the store today, don't just look for what you're looking for and don't really, I mean, you look and pay attention to the one person you might run into with the cart. Look at their eyes. Catch eye contact. See if you can. See if that person is looking around and see if you understand what I'm trying to say to you. They don't look.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying attention. So I paid attention when I was a kid for some reason, because I always saw people waving and smiling and would drive right on by. You know, they're just driving down the road. If I'm walking and there's somebody out in their yard and they're doing something, they would just acknowledge that I was there. Or I would acknowledge they were there. All we had to do was see each other.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. I went through that in my life. I saw that. And now we're distant. And now they just did something even more drastic, and they shut the world down.
That was insane.
They've never done that. In the history of humanity, has the world shut down and you stayed in your house, period, and try to tell you that's what you're doing. And then they still out there running. Well, I was too. I didn't stop because there was people that needed me. Not one day did I stop. The difference was, as I was told 6 months prior, that it was going to happen. 3 months
mm-hmm.
prior to the infection.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And telling me on the week when it's going to happen. And you want to know what? It was the week of my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, come on. You got to be kidding me, dude. But they also inducted something else on my birthday. I know we've all heard of it, you know, the one world order. There's a plaque, look it up, in the Denver Airport, International Airport, that was put there on my birthday. But it's there to tell everybody throughout the world that statement. And look at the murals in that place. Look up the murals in that place. And look at them. Depict those pictures. You get to see them. That's why I'm saying go visualize. Go visualize what I'm saying to you, because you can't process everything I'm saying to you. But you can come back and listen to the recording and go look again. You can't if you missed it. But, all right, there you go off on a soapbox again. I got my people calling, trying to get me to get some work done. So I'm happy to have been able to run my mouth a little today, and I've enjoyed listening, you know, to what our show is about and us pushing Maventown. Maventown is a reality, and I would love for anyone that has 2 acres, you don't even have to have 2 acres, but if you do have 2 acres, you can be part of the 20 towns that or communities that we are looking to get started here. And please reach out. You know, you can call on the phone, 309-542-6319. You can go to the website, hopeforhousing.org. You can, of course, you know, get a hold of this radio station, you know, on Blog Talk Radio, DIY Housing TV is what you're listening to with you and me today. And you know, and I'm grateful that, you know, we have these avenues. And there's another website, I'll go with those others. Go to dreamhabitat.org. Look at a way to feed yourself. We have greenhouses, grows fish, vegetables, and mushrooms. We want to end the hunger. And there's food deserts all over the country here, but all over the world, there's hunger, period. Doesn't matter. And even the places that have grocery stores and they're not a food desert, there's kids in that community that need food. They're not going to get it. There's adults, elderly people that need food. They're not going to get it. So everything you can do, there's not a least. You know, there's not an amount that says, hey, you've done the most. You don't need an attaboy or an attagirl. I'll give you one, though. I mean, anytime. You know, everybody needs a little praise. But when you do what you do and you get that true thank you, there will be no monetary value that will ever pay you what you're going to feel inside, because you will want another. See, I've seen thousands of those, and might even be into the hundreds of thousands of those by now. But it's been a journey, you know. And the thing is my journey ain't over, and I have no clue which way I'm going to go on what I'm going to get done today. I've got a few plans, but plans are going to change. You know, you can go on vacation and plan everything, but what you can't plan on is what the unforeseen. So things will happen because others are involved. There's other people in the world. It ain't about you. So things will happen.
Yeah.
I went to the grocery store and watched a man seize out. Mm-hmm. I catch him before he hits the concrete. Okay, because I looked.
We're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today so L.A. can get on and nurse herself. So thank everyone for joining us. We'll see everyone on tomorrow. Have a great day.